Okay. Thank you for being here this Saturday evening. We'll start with invocation prayers. So if you have your sheets or if you have memorized, you can recite with me. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschati Deshatarine Namo Mahavidanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gaurakshe Namaha Panchatattvatmakam Krishnam Bhakta Rupa Swarupakam Bhakta Avataram Bhaktakhyam Namami Bhakta Shaktikam He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatrubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyayvacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shrivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram Hare Ram 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 Hare Hare So what were we discussing last time? Anybody?
Shloka 7, I think.
So we discussed up to Shloka 7 in the last session. So chapter 2, text 7. This is what we discussed last time, which was Arjuna's final surrender to Krishna, accepting Krishna as his guru. So he has taken the role of a disciple and accepting Krishna as guru, asking him, please tell me for sure what is good for me. What is his word used? Yat shreyasyan nishchitam bruhitan me. Please instruct me what is best for me. I am a soul surrendered unto you. Now I am your disciple. Please instruct me. So, best thing to do when we don't know what to do is?
Keep quiet.
Listen to someone who knows.
So, intelligence is to know what to do when we don't know what to do. So this is a little confusing statement. So to know what to do when we don't know what to do. So when we don't know what to do by ourselves, so we should approach somebody who can guide us. Right? So that's what Arjuna is doing. So having the situation, oh, I don't know what is good for me, what I'm supposed to do. So he took shelter of Krishna. Please, you tell me. So that's why it's called the first thing to do. Taking this material form of life. So I have quoted it n number of times. What is that? The first aphorism of Vedanta Sutra. Athatoh Brahma Jigyasa. Therefore we should inquire. Right? So one of the principle of devotional life is to reveal our heart to somebody. To inquire. Because when we don't know what to do, the right thing to do is to approach somebody. Please guide me what to do. So we'll start with text 8. Nahi prapashyami mamapanudhya yachocham utchochanam indriyanam avapya bhumav asapatam rudham rajyam suranam apichadhipayatpatyam. Are they going to read translation?
I can find no means to drive away this grief, which is drying up my senses. I will not be able to dispel if even I win a prosperous, unrivaled kingdom on earth with sovereignty like the demigods in heaven.
So what Arjuna is saying, so still Arjuna is speaking. So in last verse, Arjuna surrendered. So he giving final further reasons or further statements, saying, I don't think I will be able to drive away this grief. Even if I get the whole kingdom, so even if I win this whole kingdom, and even if my kingdom is, I have no enemies, unrivaled kingdom, very prosperous kingdom. But to speak of this earthly kingdom, he is giving the example, even if I get the kingdom of Suranam, demigods, even if I get the kingdom of Devi Devatas in the heavenly planets, even that will not be able to drive away my grief. So what was Arjuna's grief? That I have to fight with my relatives and kill them. Because without killing them, it's not possible to win. And if we kill all them, it's like getting a lot of sinful reaction or no happiness even after getting this kingdom. So I'm so much grief-stricken, I don't find any means at all to drive away this grief. Even the earthly kingdom or the heavenly kingdom. Can you imagine? If you are in trouble, somebody offers you $1 billion lottery. Okay, you won $1 billion lottery. What will be your situation?
I take it.
You take it, you will forget everything, all the problems, and enjoy.
I think go to. He will get heart attack immediately.
He will get heart attack. He will not able to
not
even
able to digest the excitement.
Digest that excitement. Okay. Anybody else?
I take it.
You will take it. What will you do?
You want to buy video games?
No.
Then what will you do?
What will you do?
I don't know.
पहले आने तो दो बाद में सोचेंगे करना क्या इंटेलिजेंट हाँ क्यों सपने दिखा रहे हो ऐसे ओके सो आई विल गिव यू अनदर एनालॉजी सो समबडी इज लिविंग इन अ झोपड़पट्टी लेट्स से इन बॉम्बे देयर इज अ धारावी राइट झोपड़पट्टी काइंड ऑफ एरिया सो पीपल आर लिविंग इन दैट समबडी मे हैव सम प्रॉब्लम. Somebody living in maybe Malabar Hills, very posh area. Now, if somebody has a real problem living in Dharavi versus living in Malabar Hill, yes, there may be better facilities, right? But if somebody has some big problems in life, does it make any difference living in Dharavi versus living in Malabar Hill? No, right? So, any sort of material situation cannot solve the problems at the mental level or emotional level. Is it true?
Yes.
So if somebody has a mental problem at a mental level or emotional level, no matter what kind of facilities he may get, that situation will not change. It is just the relativity. May have a relatively better comfortable situation materially, but the problems remain. When we were in India, there were some different type of problem. You came to USA. You think there is no problem in USA? There are different sort of problems here, right? So problems, no matter where you go within this material world, from the lowest planet to the highest planet of Brahma, there is always a problem there. So Arjuna is saying, even if I get a kingdom here, earthly kingdom, with all opulences, without any rivalry. Or if I get the kingdom of the demigods, my grief cannot be driven away. So So suppose if somebody has a big family problem, husband wife has a big problem in relationships, or father or son has a big problem in relationships. No matter what sort of material situation, material comfort they may have, that problem cannot be solved at a material level. Right? So there was King Chitraketu. Anybody knows the story of King Chitraketu? What was his problem?
They didn't have any son.
So, he had the big kingdom. He has thousands of queens. He had a lot of opulences in his kingdom. No issues, no problem, no enemies. Still, he was sad. What was the problem? So once Angira Muni along with Narada Muni came to his kingdom. So he received them, worshipped them nicely, served them. And then Angira asked, I see you have all the opulences, but still you look sad. What is the problem? See, my problem is I don't have a son. So that is my problem. So the problem at the emotional level or at the mental level cannot be driven away by any sort of material comfort. When we were in India, there was a different sort of problem. Somebody recently, our relatives, they came to Canada thinking Canada is like super excellent, no problems, we'll enjoy 3 months. And the place they were staying, now there are different sort of bugs. Right? In USA, in Canada, there are different sort of bugs. So there is some kind of bugs which is like many legs crawling around on the... What is that called?
Centipede.
Sometimes some people are Kankhujura. I don't know. Kankhujura, right? So, they were having a lot of those sort of bugs in the house they were living in. So, she could not stay peacefully. Even though they were in
thinking
Canada. Thinking all the time from where? They were not able to open the windows. That they will enter inside. So, everywhere, no matter where you go, problems don't leave. So last time also we discussed the level of problem we have in whatever sort of consciousness has put us in a problem. With the same level of consciousness, we cannot solve that problem. Right? If somebody has fallen in a quicksand, he cannot come out of quicksand by himself. He needs somebody else's help from outside to pull him out. So same way, when we are in a problem, we need somebody with a higher consciousness to help us solve that problem. So Arjuna has voluntarily accepted Krishna as his guru now. So next verse, Sanjay Vacha Eva Muktva Rishikesham Gudha Keshah Parantapah Na yotsya iti govindam muktva tushni bhavuvaha. Anybody would like to recite the verse?
Eva mukta sanjavacha eva mukta rishikesham gurakesha parantapo na yotsya iti govindam muktva tushni bhavuvaha.
Very good. Translation.
Yes.
You can read it.
Okay,
Sanjaya said, having spoken thus, Arjuna, chastiser of enemies, told Krishna, Govinda, I shall not fight, and fell silent.
He had a
question.
And quicksand wasn't the right analogy, because you, if you turn out sideways, you can roll out of the quicksand.
If you what?
If you go on your side, you can roll out of quicksand.
Suppose side is very bad.
Yes, you can. No, you go on your side and roll.
Like this side.
Yeah, you go like this.
You haven't seen the quicksand then. Okay?
I know what quicksand is.
Suppose you are here.
It was I saw it in an article.
I think suppose quicksand is here. Level is here. How are you going to roll out?
But then you should do it before you get all the way down. Because quicksand is slow.
That's what it happens.
Quicksand is slow, so you just help yourself.
Why is it called?
Okay, we will put you in a quicksand and then you give us a demo. How to roll out on side and come out.
Okay.
So Sanjay Vacha Eva Muktva Rishikesham Gudha Keshah Parantapah Na Yotsyeti Govinda Muktva Tushni Bhavuvah. So Sanjay said, having spoken thus, Arjuna, the chastiser of enemies, told Krishna, Govinda, I shall not fight, and fell silent. So now Sanjay is parallelly narrating to Dhritarashtra, whatever is happening. So at the end of first chapter, same situation was, Arjuna said, I don't want to fight, and he sat down. Now here again, after giving the final conclusion, I don't know what to do, what is good for me. So he again accepted Krishna, please guide me, tell me what is the best situation for me. But he is still saying, I shall not fight. And he fell silent. Now if you read in this verse, Uvacha word or Uktva word comes twice. Evam Uktva Rishikesham, and then again Govindam Uktva. Tushni Babuvaha. So Uktva word comes twice. So Sanjay is telling Dhritarashtra, having said this, Arjuna fell silent. Somebody may ask, right? Or Dhritarashtra may ask, having said what? So then he's saying, he said, hey Govinda, I shall not fight. So having said this, he self fell silent. Now, whenever Sanjay is narrating to Dhritarashtra, he addresses Krishna and Arjuna with different names. From first chapter, from the beginning we have seen. He addresses Krishna and Arjuna with many different names. Sometimes Govinda, Madhusudana, and Arjuna he is addressed as Gudakesha, Parantapa, Partha. So every name has a significance. So here he is addressing again Arjuna as Parantapa and Krishna as Rishikesha. So there is a significance actually. So when Sanjay told Dhritarashtra that Arjuna said, I shall not fight, and he fell silent. So Dhritarashtra may be very happy in his heart. Arjuna is not going to fight. If Arjuna doesn't fight, the whole army, the whole other side is going to give up. And our victory without fighting is certain. So he is rejoicing in his heart. So in the beginning also Arjuna said, I don't want to fight. But then Krishna gave him little pep up talk. You are talking like Anarya. You are talking like Kalebhya. As a important person. You should get up and fight. But again Arjuna is saying, no, I don't want to fight. So it means Arjuna has given up. He fell silent. He will not fight. So we will get victory without fighting. So better let's just prepare for Rajyabhishek of Duryodhana. Right? So Dhritarashtra may be happy in his heart. So Sanjay indirectly telling him, addressing Arjuna as Parantapa, that he is the chastiser of enemy. Tapa means tapana. Shatru ko tapane wala. Chastiser of enemy. So right now his Kshatriya spirit is a little down. But Krishna is going to spark. Krishna is going to show the spark and lighten up his Kshatriya spirit. And he is going to get up and fight. So don't get excited so quickly. And Krishna is addressed as Rishikesha. What is the meaning of Rishikesha? We discussed earlier also. He is the controller of the senses. So he is going to give guidance to Arjuna. And indirectly he is thinking Dhritarashtra's poor state. That he is materially blind as well as he is spiritually blind also. So how unfortunate is Dhritarashtra that he is materially blind. Even though when Krishna is personally present on this planet, he is not able to see his beautiful form. So that is one unfortunate situation. Another unfortunate situation is he is spiritually blind also. He is not able to listen to anybody's guidance. So Krishna is the master of senses. He can give him not only the material vision, but he is going to give the spiritual vision with intelligence, with knowledge. And he will drive away all his misconceptions. So we are quickly going through these basic verses till we come to the core subject matter when Krishna starts speaking. Tamuvacha Rishikesha Prasanneva Bharata Senayor Bhayor Madhe Vishidanta Midam Vachaha. Anybody would like to recite?
Thank you.
Get right.
Tamavacha Rishikesha Paranta
Prasanna
Prasanna Iva Bharata Bharata Senayor Bayor Madde Vishyat Vishidanatam Idam Vacha
Tamuvacha Rishikesha Prasanna Iva Bharata Senayor Bayor Madde Vishidantam Idam Vacha. Translation.
O descendant of Bharata, at that time Krishna, smiling in the midst of both the armies, spoke the following words to the grief-stricken Arjuna.
So at that time, when again Arjuna said, I shall not fight, and became quiet. So at that time, Krishna, in the middle of both the armies, he was smiling. And he started speaking to Arjuna. So now from the next verse is where actually the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna's teaching start. The Bhagavad Gita starts from beginning itself, we discussed. But this is from where actual Krishna's teaching is going to start. When Krishna spoke earlier, text 3 and 4 I guess, right? So at that time Krishna just gave a pep talk, as a friendly talk, not as a teacher. But now Arjuna has accepted him as a teacher. So now Krishna is going to start speaking immediately, taking the role of a guru. He's going to start speaking. So here, Krishna is smiling. What is the reason of Krishna smiling? Arjuna is crying. Tears are flowing from Arjuna's eyes. Right? He is in such a lamentation, grief-stricken condition. And here is Krishna, he's smiling. Now, suppose, two friends are talking. One friend is very serious. He is crying. He is much depressed condition. And other friends start laughing, smiling. What will happen? The other friend will think, right? I am in such a distressed condition. And look at this guy, this fellow, he is smiling. What is happening? So what is the reason of Krishna's smiling? Is he not sensitive to Arjuna's situation? So Arjuna's acharyas give reason why Krishna is smiling. So Krishna is thinking about Arjuna's situation. Few minutes back, Arjuna was ready to fight. He took up his bow and arrow. He was ready to shoot. Right? He was ready to shoot. And then all of a sudden, he said, please take my chariot in the middle of two armies. Remember the first few verses? Right? Arjuna took his bow and arrow, he was ready to shoot, and then he told Krishna, please take my chariot in the middle of two armies. And now he is saying, I don't want to fight. So Krishna is looking at both the situations. Few minutes back he was so eager to fight, and now he is saying, I don't want to fight. And the second reason is, the friend has accepted other friend as teacher. So Arjuna has accepted Krishna as teacher. So this is the reason Krishna is now smiling. So now he has taken the real position. So we are reading chapter 2, text 10. So we'll start text 11 actually, and this is 11 and 12 we'll discuss today. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha Ashochyanan Vashocha Swam Pragya Vadam Sabhashase Gatasuna Gatasuncha Nanu Shochanti Panditaha. So very nice shloka, very nice verse. Anybody would like to recite? Chapter 2, text 11. Okay, why don't we recite together? Okay, I will recite one part, you recite behind me, because this is very nice shloka. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha Ashochyan Anvashocha Stvam Pragya Vadam Shabhashase Gatasuna Gatasuncha Nanu Shochanti Panditaha. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, while speaking learned words, you are mourning for what is not worthy of grief. Those who are wise lament neither for the living nor for the dead. So, this is the first verse where finally Krishna is speaking, taking the role of a guru. So, text 7, Arjuna accepted him as guru, surrendered him. So, Krishna immediately took the role of a guru. And as soon as he took the role of a guru, what is the first thing he is saying? He is chastising his disciple. You are speaking like learned person. You are speaking learned words. But you are mourning for what is not worthy of grief. So indirectly he is chastising Arjuna that even though verbally you are speaking very scholarly, but in fact you are a mudha, a fool. So Arjuna has quoted many scriptures while giving all his reasons. He has quoted Arthashastra, he has quoted Dharmakshatra Shastra, he has quoted the philosophy, the politics. So he has spoken from all different point of view. So he is speaking like a very learned person. Oh, if I do this, this will happen. If we do this, this thing will happen. So Krishna is saying, even though you are sounding like a very learned person, but you are mourning for what is not worthy of grief. So the real wise person, a real learned person, does not lament for the living nor for the dead. So, the first point to understand here is education. When we talk about education or the scholarship, it's not about just verbalization. It's about internal transformation or a practical application. Somebody may know many things. And as the situation comes, he may quote many things suiting his situation. But he is not able to practically apply that. I will give a very simple example. Sometimes as engineers, we know pulling something versus pushing something. Which is better? Less energy consuming. If you want to move one object, heavy object from one place to another, push that object or pull that object?
Pulling is better.
So even though theoretically knowing this, in our real application, sometimes what happens is we start pushing to move that object. Right? So it's the knowledge or the education is not about just theoretically knowing something, but practically applying it. So not just verbalization, but implementation. Transformation. So the knowledge should bring transformation. So Prabhupada used to say all this education these days, this material education, it's just information, information, information. There's no transformation. Somebody may be doing big, big seminars on anger control or stress management.
Give up anger.
Yes, anger management or stress management. And the same person, after giving 2-hour seminar, he himself is so much stressed out, goes out and smoking. So what is the use of all this giving big, big talks when there is no transformation inside ourselves? So it's not about just material. The current education system is mostly just information. So we have so much information on our fingertips these days. Isn't it? Everybody wants to know everything. And anything you want to know, just Google it. So there's a lot of information. But how to apply that information may not be available. So here, Krishna is saying you're speaking learned person, like a learned person, but you don't know what is the real purpose of education, real purpose of all this knowledge. Because a learned person does not lament, first of all. Nor for the living, nor for the dead. So once Prabhupada, so see sometimes we have this big, big scholarships, right? We think, oh, I'm a double master's, PhD, MBA, this, that. So I know a lot of things. So we talk like a very scholarly person sometime. But can we solve our own problems? More we try to solve one problem, more we keep getting inside deep and deep. So there was once one person, Chaturvedi ji. So there are some person in India, right? These surnames, Chaturvedi, Trivedi.
Mm-hmm.
You know what is the real meaning of that? Now it has just become a surname. But what is the real meaning of Chaturvedi or Trivedi?
They used to know the Vedas.
Yes. So Chaturvedi means one who knows all the four Vedas inside out completely. Trivedi is three Vedas. So that is the real meaning. So there was Mr. Chaturvedi ji. He was really a scholarly person. He knew all the shlokas from all the Vedas. And Prabhupada once asked, so Mr. Chaturvedi ji, so you know all these Vedas, you can quote all the shlokas from all these four different Vedas. Can you tell me who is God? So Mr. Chaturvedi, he little nervous. Who is God? You mean, what do you mean, who is God? There are many different, these, this, that, this, that. So, Prabhupada called one of small girl, one disciple, small girl. Saraswati, come here. You know who is God? The little girl said, Krishna is the supreme personality of Godhead. And Prabhupada said, and the small children should lead. So even though one may know all the shlokas, by heart remember all the shlokas, but if we don't know what is the real meaning of all these Vedas, all this is just verbalization. There is no real knowledge. Because Krishna also says in Bhagavad Gita later on in chapter 15, Vedaischa sarver aham eva vedyo. I am to be known through the Vedas. So if somebody knows all the Vedas, all the scriptures, he can quote different shlokas from different places, but he still does not understand the real goal of life. Or who is God? What is my relationship with God? All this is just waste of time. So Krishna just started chastising Arjuna. Another point to understand from here is, Krishna did not give advice until Arjuna asked for advice. Right? So far Arjuna was speaking, giving all different reasons. In between, Krishna just gave little pep talk. No, you should fight. Why you are acting like this? But he did not start giving advice. And what happens to us? Anybody comes, tell a little problem. We start giving advice as freely as we breathe. So Krishna is showing by his example, advice should be given to somebody when advice is asked for. So in general also, when we talk about Krishna consciousness, we talk in general, not at a personal level. If somebody comes and asks for a personal advice, then only we should speak at a personal level, giving as a personal advice. But otherwise in general we talk, yes, one should take to Krishna consciousness, this is the real goal of life. Not start talking about, oh, you have husband-wife relationship, let me tell you how to solve the problem. You have this problem at your home, let me tell you how to solve this problem. So when advice is seen as an interference, it is rejected. Or to that next level actually, it is seen that person is trying to interfere in their personal life. Isn't it? So we should give personal advice only to the level it is asked for. Somebody may ask us also, oh, please tell me how to deal with this situation. I am having a problem with my wife, or my wife is having problem with my parents. So it's becoming too much of a mess, big problem. So please tell me how to solve this problem. Then yes, we can guide them. But if somebody just tells you, I have too much problem at my home. He just told you the problem. Did not ask for the advice. And what happens to us? We start giving advice. Now, you know what? You should do this. First solve your problem, then give advice. Right? So Krishna did not start giving advice until Arjuna asked him, please tell me, what should I do? Another point to understand from this verse, Krishna is chastising Arjuna as soon as he started speaking. even though you are speaking like a learned person, but you are acting like a fool. So Arjuna's situation is, he is showing the situation or the quality of humility. That when we want to take to the spiritual life, humility is the first and foremost quality required. Until we are humble, we will not be able to take somebody's advice. Right? Because if there is so much ego, no, I know better. Who are you to tell me? If there is ego, there is no humility to accept somebody's advice, there is no point in somebody can guide us. So, for our situation also, sometimes it may happen that maybe, let's say, we are doing some service at the temple and somebody may come and chastise us. Oh, you are doing this way, this is wrong. Why are you not doing this? You should be doing this. For example, recently what happened is two Matajis were doing some service. And so they did the cooking, and after doing their service, they were leaving. And one elderly Mataji came and she kind of blasphemed them. How come you are leaving? You haven't finished your service. You are supposed to clean up also. I mean, that is right way. Actually, it is right, right? So when we are doing something, when we are cooking, so after finishing cooking, the proper way is to clean up also later on. So she pointed out the mistake. So what should have been? So the person who did that, they should have accepted that, yes, somebody is trying to guide me how to do my service properly. But if the other Matajis take it as a insult, right? Oh, how come she told me this? Why she said we have to stay further and clean up this? So that is no humility. That is the ego clash. On the verse, somebody will say, no, they are blaspheming us or chastising us. I even don't want to come to temple anymore. So one should be humble, accepting that somebody is trying to teach me how to do my service better. So humility is the starting point. And Arjuna, last time also we discussed, Krishna hasn't told the qualities of a disciple. But Arjuna is already demonstrating those qualities. What are those qualities? Humility. Approaching somebody. So, what are the qualities we discussed? Pranipatena pariprashnena sevaya. So, he is surrendering and inquiring in a submissive mood and rendering service. And what should be the internal mood? Humility, not in a challenging spirit. So, Arjuna is already demonstrating these qualities. What are the ideal qualities for a disciple? So moving on to the next one, so very important shloka, please pay attention. Natvevaham jatunasham natvaneme janadipa na chaiva na bhavishyamaha sarve vayamatah param. Anybody like to recite, or we should do again portion?
I think we can recite all together.
Natvevaham jatunasham natvaneme janadipa na chaiva na bhavishyamaha sarve vayamatah param. Never was there a time when I did not exist, nor you, nor all these kings, nor in the future shall any of us cease to be. Now this shloka is very heavy, very deep philosophy. And Krishna has already started giving the core knowledge. Within one shloka, he has given a big knowledge. So Krishna said, never there was a time when I did not exist, or you did not exist, or all these kings did not exist, nor in the future any of us shall cease to be. So now, is Krishna talking from the bodily point of view? Now our bodies, did we exist forever? Did this body exist forever? Will this body exist forever in future? So at the time of death, this body will be gone. Right? Or as we age, this body start dwindling. So it happens to everybody like that. So why Krishna is saying, we all existed in the past, we all will exist in the future. So definitely Krishna is not speaking from the bodily point of view. Right? So Krishna has already started speaking at the level of soul. That we are not this body. We are something different as soul. So we have existed in the past and we will exist in the future. So we are all spiritual beings. Now here, another point is Krishna is putting himself in the same basket. So he's saying, I was also there, you were also there, all kings were there. And we will be there in the future also. So he himself, he's saying, me and you, both we are spiritual. So he's also equating himself as a spiritual being. But does it mean we are equal to Krishna or we will become equal to Krishna? So sometimes people think that in future or when we get liberation, we will become equal with God. So there is equality. Krishna is giving equality in terms of nature. That as a nature, we are all spiritual beings, eternal beings. But still there is a difference. What is the difference? So, Katha Upanishad and Shvetavatara Upanishad, they quote one shloka to tell the difference. Even though both are spiritual, but what is the difference? So the difference is, it's quoted in this purport also. Nityo nityanam chetanas chetananam eko bahunam jo vidadhati kaman. So, among the many eternals, nitya nam, bahuvachan. Okay, so it's a plural, nitya nam. So among many eternals, there is one supreme eternal, nitya. Chetanas chetana nam. So chetana nam, again plural. Among many eternal living beings or the conscious beings, he is the one giving consciousness. Eko bahunam. Among the many, he is one supreme. Yo vidadhati kaman. Who is maintaining everything. Okay, so clearly giving the instruction. Even though both are eternal, we are also eternal as a living entity. Supreme Lord is also eternal. But still there is difference. We are all spiritual. But we are a minute particle. And he is the whole. So sometimes people completely misinterpret. Oh, when we become liberated, right now we are covered with Maya, illusion. But ultimately when this curtain of Maya is dropped, we will realize we are God. We will become God. So Krishna, while saying we all maintain our individuality, there is never a time in future when we will cease to exist. So what does the Mayavadi claim? So this is a big slap to impersonalism. So Mayavadi philosophy is when we get liberation, we merge into God, we will become one with God, we drop our individuality, we lose our individuality, and we become one. So their famous quote is, Danda Grahan Matrena Nar Narayan Bhavet. So when somebody accepts sannyas, so Danda Grahan Matrena, so sannyasi takes a danda, right? So Danda Grahan Matrena Nar Narayan Bhavet. The living entity, the human being, he becomes Narayan. He becomes equal with Narayan. So that is their philosophy. Say we leave our individuality, we merge in God, we become one with God. But what is Krishna saying here very clearly? We all maintain our individuality in the future. Never in the past there was any time when we did not exist individually. Nor in the future there will be any time when we will cease to exist. So, now what happens is, so for example, somebody is very frustrated in this material concept of life. So in material life, somebody is very frustrated. He wants to give up his life. And if a man goes to his mother, I am too much in problem. Why even I came in this material world? I feel like I want to go back in your womb. So now materially, that's not even possible. Right? No material arrangement. But Krishna can do anything. So somebody is claiming, I just want to become one with you, merge back in you. So much problem in this material world. So Krishna can do that also. Krishna says, you want to come, merge in me, become, be in me. He allows also. So that is one type of liberation. So generally when we ask, what is the goal of life? People may say, goal of life is to get moksha. Right? Goal of life is to get liberation, moksha. And what is liberation? So next question comes, okay, what is the meaning of liberation? Here everybody dunks. Meaning of liberation is to merge in God, become one with God. That is a very widely popular philosophy. Liberation means to become one with God. So that is one type of liberation. Krishna allows that also. But it doesn't mean merging into Brahman means we'll give up our individuality. How is that? So have you seen the... So when it is sunlight, so in the daytime, you will see some rays of light entering from the window inside. And if you look from the side, you see on those rays, you will see many particles. Right? So there are many, either dust particle or something clearly visible on the rays, hanging on the rays. So, impersonal liberation, impersonal merging in the impersonal Brahman is like that. As a living individual, living entity is hanging on the Brahmajyoti. Brahmajyoti is what? The effulgence coming out of the body of Lord. So that is the whole Brahman. Effulgence. So like the rays of the sun. So as the particles hanging on the rays of sun, so the individual living entities are just staying, still individually, hanging on the impersonal Brahman. So that is not a very nice situation to be in actually. For example, if I tell you, okay, we will put you in one 4x4 room or 8x8 room. Just sit on one table chair. We'll provide you food from a hole. Just keep sitting there for eternity. You don't have to do anything. What will be the situation? Will you like that arrangement? So impersonal liberation, merging into the Brahman is like that. So you are hanging as a particle on the effulgence of the Lord. Nothing to do there, no activity. And people who achieve impersonal liberation, ultimately they come down. Better I come in material world back, engage myself in some philanthropic activities and do something. So impersonal Brahman is not a very nice situation. But this is a very deep-rooted philosophy, wide popular spread philosophy. So Krishna is saying, we maintain our individuality. So once one Mayavadi sannyasi, he was teaching one person. One person went to a sannyasi to get some knowledge. He said, so their popular statement or the popular mantra is soham. Ever heard of soham? So aham. I am that. So first of all, the Mayavadis.
Aham Brahmasmi.
So aham. I am that. So like I am God. I am also God. So he told this person, keep chanting this mantra. Soham, soham, soham. And ultimately your curtain of Maya will be relieved and you will realize that you are God. Like, kuch jhoot baar baar bolte raho. So, wohi sacha lagne lagta, right? If you keep telling something false, you start believing in that itself. Is it true or not? Any example? If you keep lying about something, that becomes so deep-rooted, you think, oh, that is the truth. If you keep thinking about that. I will tell you an example actually, what happened with me once. So, once...
There is a natural process.
It's a natural process, it's a conditioning of mind. If we keep thinking about something...
It is not even lie. Anything.
Anything, yes. So keep saying something, keep believing about something. You start, or keep saying something, even though it's not true, you start believing in that.
That's why 10 people say some same lie, that person will believe.
So what happened is once, I'll tell you very live, like my personal example, okay? So once I was in an engineering college. So from hostel to our engineering college, the actual college was maybe like 1.5-2 kilometers. So sometime we'll take a bus. So there is bus going, passing from there. It's going to a different place. It doesn't stop in front of the college. It just takes a turn and goes to the other side. So some of the students from hostel, they will come on the road. Rather than getting inside the bus and taking the ticket, will just hang behind the bus. And when the turn comes, they'll jump down.
Because it's slow down.
So slow down or whatever, because it doesn't go to the college. Otherwise, it will take you to the different place. So they'll just jump down on that turn at that corner. So once I also climbed up along with other students who used to do daily basis. So when it was going to take turn, I was not experienced enough. So I just jumped down. Before the actual turn, I jumped down and it was quite fast. So I fell down, rolled on the ground. And so the pant, it got torn up at the knee and it was a lot of bruising, bleeding coming out. Now, I was scared what to tell my parents when I will go back to my home on weekend. So I thought I will tell them. I was playing football in the field and there was a brick on the side. I fell and my knee hit on the brick. And that's how I got hurt. So I kept thinking about that. And this is what I told. And later on, whenever I think of that incident, first image will come on, I fell on the brick in football field. So if we keep thinking about something which is not even true, we start believing in that. So that becomes our first thought that comes. So this person told him, you start chanting, soham, 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 I am that. First of all, they don't know God's real position and his name also. They address God as either he, that, I, it. So soham, soham. So once another person, that person's friend came, who used to be a devotee. So he heard him chanting, soham, soham. What are you chanting? So this sannyasi gave me this mantra. He said, no, this is not the right one. You add da in the front, in the beginning. So it begins da soham. Das o aham. So I am not that, I am the servant of that. Right? So I am not God, I am servant of God. So dasoham, 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 dasoham. So he started chanting, okay, my friend is telling me, he is also a very learned person, so let me chant that. So he started chanting dasoham, dasoham. So a few days later, the sannyasi came back. He heard him chanting dasoham, dasoham, dasoham. Say, what are you chanting? I told him soham, soham. So he said, no, my friend told me to put da in the front. He said, okay, you add another so in the front or sa in the front. So, but it became sada soham, sada soham, sada soham. I am always that, I am always that, I am always that. So that is the Mayavadi sannyasi's philosophy, Mayavadi's philosophy. We are all God, eternally we are all God. So sada soham, sada soham, sada soham. So later on the friend again came. Then what happened? You again change the mantra. So he said, okay, no problem. You add another da in the beginning. So what it became? Das dasoham, das dasoham, das dasoham. So I am the servant of the servant, I am the servant of the servant, I am the servant of the servant. So that is what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu preached, right? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave that teaching. So we are the servant of the servant, devotee of the devotee. So Krishna also tells in Bhagavad Gita, if somebody tells me, I am your devotee, he is not actually my devotee. But if he is the devotee of my devotee, then he is my devotee. So our position is Das Dasoham, servant of the servant of Lord. Devotee of the devotee of Lord. So the Mayavadi philosophy is so harsh to accept the personal form of the Lord. Once one Mayavadi was giving a big talk and the topic, but the title of the talk was We Are the Whole. So W-H-O-L-E, whole. So we are the whole, we are the complete. So in one sense, yes, we are complete, but his philosophy was in a different way, that we are the complete, we are one with God, equal with God. So, and he was teaching, what was his talk was, that these devotees, they are doing all this bhakti and all that because they want to go to Vaikuntha. And once they go to Vaikuntha, what will they do? Will they be sitting all the day in front of Narayan or Bhagwan? And the God will also be tired looking at them all the day. And once he, then he will tell them, why are you sitting all the day in front of me? Just get out from here. Because Mayavadi sannyasis don't have any idea of the spiritual world. That in spiritual world, Lord is having all his activities, pastime going on eternally. And the devotees are engaged in the service of the Lord in various different relationships. The way impersonal liberation is, there is no activity to do. They think, oh, in Vaikuntha, what is Vaikuntha? There is nothing to do. And will God be, they will be sitting in front of each other and just watching each other? So that's what the thinking is. They say, first of all, there is no Vaikuntha. There is no Bhagavan. It's just energy. And we will become equal with God. Right now, we are under the curtain of Maya. So what kind of God is that? Who comes under Maya, first of all. It means Maya is bigger than God. So Maya should be God then. So Krishna is clearly slapping that impersonal philosophy that there is never a time when we leave our individuality. We always maintain our individuality. It was in past, it is now, it will remain in future. So our difference between us and the Lord is, yes, eternally, we are all spiritual beings. We are the part of that spiritual being, spark of that. But there is a big difference between a spark and the fire. Right? So the quantity of heat and light from one spark versus the heat and light from the whole fire. There's a big difference. The difference in one particle of gold versus the gold mine. Is there a difference? So quantitatively, gold particle has same qualities, right? But qualitatively. So qualitatively it has same qualities. But quantitatively there is a vast difference. So same way, a drop of water versus ocean. So the physical or the chemical composition of a drop of water is same as the whole ocean. But the saltiness in one drop of water versus the whole ocean, is this equal? So qualitatively, it has same characteristics, but quantitatively there is a big difference. So this verse from Katha Upanishad clearly describes the difference in an individual living entity versus the Supreme Lord. Nityo nityanam chetanas chetananam eko bahunam jo vidadhati kaman.
So Krishna, the only difference between us and God is that quantitative.
So quantitatively, spiritually, so we are also eternal, right? So we are also eternal being. We come into this material world and we become victim of the three modes of nature. But when the Lord descends in this material world, he is not influenced by the modes of material nature. Another difference, let's say, when Krishna is personally there and Arjuna is there. Now, what is the difference in Krishna and Arjuna? The difference between living entity and God is, we may be conscious of our own body. You may know about the pains and pleasure of your own body, if something hurts your body. But can you tell if she is having any problem while sitting there? No, right? So that is the difference between individual living entity versus God.
Krishna's body was not material.
Right, his body is not material. And he knows everything. He is conscious of all the bodies. We may be conscious of our own body, but he is conscious of all the bodies. So for example, sometimes we think, our brain, how much memory you can hold?
Limited.
So limited scope here, right? And then Krishna, how is his memory? He says, I know everything, the past, present and future, about everybody. Not just about one person, about everybody. So there are innumerable living entities. He knows about the past, present and future of each and every living entity. So you can think about how much supercomputer he may have. So we sometimes talk about our quad core processors and whatever 1 terabyte hard disk something. And Krishna's computer is supercomputer. There is no limit to what storage is there. Our storage become full. Krishna's storage doesn't get full. So the difference in individual living entity versus the Supreme Lord, we may know little bit about ourselves. Even we don't know about ourselves also. Do you know when you eat the food, how it goes inside and how it gets digested and how it flows through the different parts of the body? Are you aware of that? So we don't know even about our own body. And Krishna is conscious of each and everybody. Right? Any other points, comment?
Even the spiritual, if somebody goes to Vaikuntha, he'll maintain his individuality, his quality, like what you give example of water and the sound, the sea. I think still there are a lot of differences out
there. There are.
So, lot of difference. The biggest difference is Lord is, he can create.
Yes, of course.
The individual soul, even though they go to Vaikuntha, they are not, they cannot be created.
No.
That is a big difference.
So, the when it comes to liberation, right? So, general concept is liberation means merging into the Brahman. That is one type of liberation. It's called Sayujya Mukti. So, there are 5 type of liberations actually. So, the scripture defines there are 5 type of liberation. What is that? What are the different 5 types of liberation? So, one is Sarupya Mukti. Sarupya. So, you get the same form as the Lord. Sarupya. So, he also gets the 4-handed Vishnu form. So, Sarupya Mukti. Any example? Somebody got that? So, from Krishna Leela, there was one.
Somebody got that, but I forgot the name.
So, there was Panduruk Vasudev. Okay, Panduruk Vasudev, he imitated the form of Krishna. He got a Sudarshan Chakra also. And he was sitting like Krishna in that kind of sinhasan. And he was imitating that I am Krishna. I am the original Vasudev. And so, he was ultimately killed by Krishna, but because he was always imagining himself in that form, he was delivered to achieve Sarupya Mukti. So, there is first is Sarupya Mukti. Second one is Samipya Mukti. Being in a very close association. Samipya. Very close association of the Lord. Being as his very close associates, his close servants. So, then Salokya Mukti. Going on to the same planet as the Lord. Because there are innumerable planets. And with whatever particular form one is meditating on, he can attain to that particular planet in the spiritual world. There are innumerable Vaikuntha, Goloka Dham, Ayodhya Dham. So like that, there are different divisions within the spiritual world also. So one can attain to a particular planet to live with a particular form of the Lord. So Salokya Mukti. Then there is one called getting the same type of opulences as the Lord. I forgot the Sanskrit term. And then another, the last one is Sayujya Mukti. Merging into the impersonal Brahman, effulgence of the Lord. And that is the lowest type of Mukti actually. So devotee does not want to aspire for any type of Mukti. But once one is in the devotional service, devotional, the Bhakti Devi is standing folded with folded hands to give Mukti, to give him any type of Mukti, whatever one may desire. So our process is to engage in devotional service. Dasoham or Das Dasoham. I am the servant of the Lord. That is our real position. There is a shloka from Chaitanya Charitamrita which says, Jivera Savrupa Hoye Krishner Nityadas. The original Savrupa of the living entity is to be servant of Krishna. To be in a serving position to Krishna.
That is Bengali
one. Yes. Chaitanya Charitamrita is Bengali. So you can read that.
So the souls, you know, they are not like the soul in me, the soul in her, the soul in you. So they are individually differentiable.
So everybody maintains its individuality. So it's individual. Spiritually, they are same. Quality-wise. So I am eternal, you are eternal. But it's not that the same consciousness is flowing from you and me and everything. Everybody is equal spiritually. That you are also soul, I am also soul. When we say same soul in terms of quality. That quality-wise soul is same. Right? Quality-wise soul is same. It's eternal, it's Satchidanand. But it's individual. So you have your own processor, I have my own processor.
That means if all the souls, means qualitatively, means they are capable of being the same, but they have their different own identity.
Right, so let's say we two are individual, right? So, and as an individual, you were something else in your previous life, in some particular form, and as your consciousness developed, you attained this particular form. I was something else in my previous form. I have developed this form, this particular form, based on my consciousness now. And as this journey progresses, I may become something else, you may become something else. So the individuality is continuous. This individuality remains. And same, this individuality goes up to the level when we even reach Krishna, this individuality remains. We may be two different persons in two different forms in the spiritual world serving Krishna. The quality is same, that everybody is eternal.
But still we maintain our individuality at soul level.
Too. Yes. It's not just a stream of energy which is flowing from you and flowing from me. But it's individual. Any other questions, comments, or otherwise we'll stop here. So now this is a core part starting from this text 12. So 13 onwards, it's going to be very nice, important flow of shlokas. So I request everybody, please try to attend in a regular fashion.